The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
U.S. stocks tumbled today with the Dow falling nearly 1,000 points. What's behind the sell-off? And why this year's hottest job markets aren't in the biggest cities.
People are moving out of these bigger economies like New York City, San Francisco, Los Angeles, into these other alternatives, these mid-sized cities that are relatively cheaper to live in.
We'll check in on one of them, Raleigh, North Carolina. Plus, for workers splitting their time between home and the office, what's the sweet spot? It's Friday, April 22nd. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. A sell-off on Wall Street today with all three major indexes falling sharply. The Dow lost 981 points, its worst one-day loss since October of 2020. All three major indexes ended the day down more than 2%. Markets reporter Gunjan Banerjee says it's been a turbulent stretch for stocks.
This week we saw a ton of earnings come out. And another thing that's been driving some of the moves is monetary policy. On Thursday, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell indicated that the central bank is ready to tighten monetary policy more quickly than many investors anticipated, and the Fed will likely raise interest rates by 0.5 percentage point at its meeting in May. So worries about rising interest rates and the pace of monetary tightening have led to a lot of the volatility that we've seen throughout the week.
All three major indexes were down more than 1.8% for the week. Ukrainian officials are accusing Russia of burying thousands of civilians in mass graves outside the port city of Mariupol, which is now mostly under Russian control. Much of the city has been leveled by shelling, bombing, and street fights. Russia didn't immediately respond to a request for comment, but generally ascribed civilian casualties in Mariupol to Ukrainian forces. Speaking at a conference carried by state media, a senior Russian military official said Moscow's territorial goals go beyond the eastern Donbas region, where Russia has launched a major offensive. He said Moscow seeks to control all of southern Ukraine to secure a land corridor to Crimea, which Russia annexed in 2014. The Kremlin declined to comment, and it's unclear to what extent the general's comments reflect its policy. We'll have more updates on Ukraine throughout the weekend on WSJ.com. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy told fellow top Republicans that he would advise then-President Donald Trump to resign after the January 6th Capitol riot. That's according to an audio recording of a call obtained by New York Times reporters and released last night. In the recording, McCarthy expresses concern about impeachment proceedings against Trump, who was later impeached by the House for inciting an insurrection but acquitted in the Senate. McCarthy had at first criticized Trump in the wake of the riot. The two have since strengthened ties as Republicans seek to take back control of the House in the midterm elections. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has signed a bill that ends Disney's special tax district. The Reedy Creek Improvement District has allowed Disney to govern the land housing its theme parks, hotels, and resorts since 1967. It's exempted Disney from several regulations, taxes, and fees. Florida's GOP lawmakers have targeted Disney's special tax treatment since the company opposed a bill that limits classroom instruction on gender and sexuality, which opponents have dubbed "Don't Say Gay." Disney did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Coming up, why are mid-sized cities the hottest job markets right now? We'll discuss after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
Where are the hottest job markets in America? The Wall Street Journal set out to find out, and this year, mid-sized cities are topping the annual list. The Wall Street Journal, working with Moody's Analytics, assessed 300 metro areas and ranked them based on things like how fast jobs and pay are growing, the unemployment rate, and more. Landing in the top spot this year was Austin, Texas, followed by Nashville, Tennessee, Raleigh, North Carolina, Salt Lake City, Utah, and Jacksonville, Florida. So what attributes do these cities share, and what can we learn from them? Joining me now with more on this is Wall Street Journal economics reporter Brian Mina. Hi, Brian. Thanks for being here.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
So let's start by talking about the cities that topped this year's list. Besides being mid-sized, what other things do they have in common?
Yeah, that's like the main thing we noticed is that the cities towards the top are mid-sized cities. But I think one of the common things these cities all have in common is that they saw their populations grow. And so, for example, Austin, Texas, you know, we always hear about people moving into Austin, which drives up housing prices. The case was the same in Raleigh and Nashville. So these were other cities that were towards the top. And so it's also a story about what didn't happen in these cities. And so when you look at these mid-sized cities compared to New York City, San Francisco, other cities that are really reliant on tourism. And so if you can recall in 2020, that really dealt a blow to tourism-reliant economies. And so the cities that were at the top of this list, Raleigh, Austin, Nashville, these cities didn't do as bad. People are moving out of these bigger economies like New York City, San Francisco, Los Angeles, into these other alternatives, these mid-sized cities that are relatively cheaper to live in. And so we saw their populations growing, and so that drove up demand for services, that drove up wages as well.
So let's zoom in on one of these top five. Brian, you went to Raleigh, North Carolina, which ranked 21st in 2020, but moved up to number three this year. So what's behind that change? What's happened there in the past 2 years?
So starting when the pandemic happened, we got these restrictions. And so the Raleigh Metro lost about 10,000 tourism jobs. And this is the same across the country, right? So leisure hospitality was really affected by the pandemic early on. And then in 2021, it really rebounded. So 2021 was a really robust year for Raleigh. And part of that was because, you know, again, the population was growing. Raleigh also has a very thriving technology sector in North Carolina. They call it the Research Triangle. And so as a result, you know, these jobs, you know, people were able to work remotely from these jobs. So you have the arrival of remote workers who drive up demand for services in the area. And so Raleigh saw its tourism industry come back online. It was still benefiting from population growth. And yeah, businesses are just, they've gotten more comfortable or used to the pandemic. And so we're seeing the slow but steady revival of consumer-facing industries like leisure and hospitality. So all this was going on in Raleigh in the past 2 years.
So let's dig into some of those things you mentioned. You also spoke with residents about what they think makes their city a hot jobs market. Todd Olson, the CEO of software firm Pendo, says politics has something to do with that as well.
The other aspect of Raleigh that's a bit unique is that certainly within tech is it's very purple, you know, with respect to politically. So, which provides an opportunity. You know, I think most tech hubs would be more progressive, so more blue than even purple. And I think we have to find ways to, what it means to be inclusive in a place like Raleigh is different than it is in, say, New York City or San Francisco.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting how he mentioned, you know, the politics of North Carolina, Raleigh. And as we know, North Carolina is very much purple. And so, and it is true that places like the San Francisco Bay Area, New York City, Los Angeles, a lot of people that live there are very progressive. They tend to be democratic. According to Mr. Olson, the Pendo CEO, that does play a role. And another thing he mentioned is that, you know, it's very beneficial to be the big fish in the small pond. Pendo has really matured over the years, and so it's very much a big fish. And he mentioned that Raleigh is still this growing young city. And he said that, you know, one of the benefits of being the big fish is that he has a better access to elected officials, other community leaders. And that seems to be the case for Pendo.
So, Brian, we've been talking a lot about the future of work here at the Wall Street Journal, and it's something you saw playing out in Raleigh, too. Jess Porta, executive of the co-working space Raleigh founded, says there's been a huge influx of remote workers.
We see people coming back into the fray, but they're coming back in a different way. They want to do hybrid, what we call hybrid remote working. And so that's where a team will have a smaller footprint of an office space that their team members and their employees can rotate in and out of. They might use our conference rooms, they might use a small landing spot, a small office, you know, this size. and let their employees work from home the other days of the week and just sort of rotate in. It's great because, you know, it saves them money, it gives more freedom, work-life balance to their employees, and we can attract talent.
That's definitely true, because as we're always saying that we're going to eventually, you know, just get used to the pandemic. And I know a lot of executives, you know, and I cover economics. And so that's one thing that is always mentioned by managers is, what's the future work going to look like? In the case of Raleigh and Raleigh Founded, a lot of tech workers do have that option. They have the option to work remotely. And so what they can do is they can sign up for workspaces like Raleigh Founded or WeWork, which so they can have access to this workspace where they can work in person. And one thing that Ms. Porta mentioned is that there are a lot of benefits to working in a workspace, because you get to work with others, you see collaboration happen. So it seems like Raleigh Founded is an option for a lot of remote workers who move to the area and they want to work somewhere in person. Yeah, this seems to be what's happening in Raleigh.
So we've talked a lot about the draws of mid-sized cities. What did you learn about some of the challenges as they seek to expand their job markets?
One challenge that comes to mind when it comes to these growing economies like Raleigh, Austin, Nashville, Atlanta, these places have seen housing costs really go up. The housing has become really expensive in these areas because they were affordable to begin with. And so in 2021, Raleigh was the seventh fastest growing housing market. And so you're seeing these places slowly become less affordable. They're still going to relatively be more affordable than New York City and San Francisco, but not as affordable as they used to be. But I think affordability is one of the main issues that mid-sized growing cities are dealing with.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal economics reporter Brian Mina. Brian, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
You can read more about this year's annual rankings of the best job markets at WSJ.com. And finally, it's Friday, the end of another work week. For months now, many companies have had ambitious plans to return to the office. Some managers called workers back in for 3 days a week, giving workers flexibility as well as face time with the team. But how much time back in the office is best? New research from Harvard Business School suggests that people who came into the office just 1 or 2 days a week were more productive, while the companies that tried to get people in the office for 4 to 5 days found their employees complaining and quitting. Our Life and Work reporter Katie Binley says it's important for employers to find the sweet spot.
Surveys just show that people really care about flexibility, whether that's where they work from or also when they work. It's just a huge priority for workers coming out of the pandemic. So what we've seen is over the last 15 months, these researchers, one of them is Nick Bloom from Stanford, he's an economics professor, they've done this monthly survey. And what they're finding is that the gap between employee preferences and employer plans for return to work has like very gradually been shrinking. I mean, what's behind that, I think, is really just a recognition on the part of employers that if they want to keep their best talent and if they want to keep recruiting new hires and being an attractive option for new hires, they might have to just be as flexible as possible.
And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Luke Vargas. The show was produced by Trinae Nori and Kate Bullivant, with help from Mohsen Ali, Anthony Bansi, Julie Chang, Amanda Llewellyn, Zoe Thomas, and J.R. Whalen, and editorial support from Michael Cosmides and Chris Sinsley. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. We'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost-effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.